I'm Ashton.
I'm Emma.
And we're interviewing
Jan Mills, age 80.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Flesh Chapel, the little community just down the road.
Do you remember a family doctor who cared for you in your youth or later in life that you liked? If so, what was it about the doctor that you admired or appreciated?
I remember the first doctor that I can recall was Dr. Van in Spring Hope. And I was very, very young. I remember 5 years old. My very first shot, I had pneumonia. And I remember this was a house call, and he came out. And I remember laying on the bed, bottom up to get the shot, looking out the window and seeing his daughter swinging on my swing, thinking, why can't I get out there? But he was just a sweet, gentle man, and he remained the family doctor until he retired, and I was probably nearly 20 years old.
Can you tell us more about your pneumonia treatment?
That's all I remember. Oh. Because really, I'll tell you, my grandmother made medicine, and I have a flyer with her photo and her little letters of testament from people who said that it had cured their lumbago and their rheumatism or whatever. And my dad had a cure for anything and everything that we got first. But I do recall with the, whenever I had the croup, I would nearly suffocate myself because I didn't want him to hear me, because he would come in with a teaspoonful of sugar and a drop of kerosene oil on it. And that's what I took for the croup. But it went away.
I guess you're right to that. Country doctors were often appreciated because of the deeply familiar relationships they had with their patients. Is the doctor-patient relationship important to you?
Very. I think that in order for a doctor to fully understand what's going on in the patient's life, the patient has to feel comfortable telling the doctor and being able to describe what's going on without thinking, I've got to hold all this in because I don't want them to know exactly what's going on, and that it's very important.
And how does this rank with other attributes, such as the doctor's technical skill, availability, or reputation?
Oh, well, reputation and their technical skills would probably rank higher than my personal relationship with him, because I'd want him to know what the heck he was doing and he was treating it. And I would also want him to have a very good reputation in the community as far as his relationship with other patients.
What attributes do you look for from your healthcare team, and is compassion or other virtuous character traits important?
What attributes do I look for? Concern, for one thing. I want them to be concerned about me, and I don't want them to think that just because I'm 80 that I'm falling apart. And I want them to know that I'm still very alert and pretty much know what's going on. I'm a very independent older lady, and I need for them to understand and appreciate that.
Some people describe the work of a family physician to be partly as a medical guide or educator for their patients. Have you seen this trait with your doctor?
I'm sorry, repeat.
Some people describe the work of a family physician to be partly as a medical guide or educator for their patients. Have you seen this trait with your doctor?
My family doctor is a native of India. And so he pretty much is very pointed in the medication that he gives me and what he thinks it will do for me. And I will either tell him, yes, I will agree to take that, or no, I won't agree to take that because I think there are side effects. And then he will relay to me what the side effects are and what the benefits are of the medicine. So yeah, he's a very good guide in that direction.
Do you think that aspect would be helpful to learn about your diagnosis or available?
Absolutely. If you don't know why you're taking the medicine and you don't know what the medicine is going to be doing, then you're not going to be prone to follow through.
Do you have any other stories, maybe from your childhood, that you'd like to tell us?
You don't want to go there.
We have
I think sometimes that my generation, and I graduated in 1962 from Spring Oak High School, and all three of my children graduated from Southern Nash. But I think that the best childhood stories that I could have would be the simplicity of the time in which I grew up. Life was not complicated. I grew up on a family farm, and knew very quickly that I did not want to marry a farmer, and held true to that because I didn't want to work out. Because back then, if you grew up on a farm, you worked the farm. There was no one who came in to work it for you. You worked the farm. And yeah, I just think that most of my childhood stories would be the simplistic things of life. But I will tell you this. We were talking about there about the boisterous students, you know, thing. And I told them, I said, my class was the class, the standout class. We got into lots of trouble because we were the smarter class. You know, everybody thought they had a smart class. But we had a very intelligent class. And when we were a class of 52, and all 52 of us graduated, we still have a monthly breakfast, and most of us are still living. A lot of our guys went to Vietnam. And so, you know, there are a lot of things that my generation has to offer. But I think sometimes it were overlooked in that respect. But the one thing that we did in the high school class was we painted the water tower in Spring Hope. We were the first class to do that. And then I remember coming into school on the school bus and looking up and seeing class of 62 on the water tower. And I thought, oh my soul, I knew exactly who did it. Because the guy who painted the tube was dyslexic and he made it backwards. So, I mean, you know, it was a dead giveaway. Who did it? And so then we go to, the principal comes around and he says, you know, no one's going to graduate until I find out who did this and you're all going to do. And we were having our little class party down at that time they called it the grill, it was the show side, but that was the gathering place. All the kids circled a grill, and it was really a gathering place. And we were having our class party in there. And Mr. Parrish comes in, and he says, okay, I want you to be bold enough and brave enough to stand up if you painted that water tower. The entire class stood up. He said, well, I guess I'll have to let you graduate then, because all of you did. So that's one of my stories. But we had we did a lot of crazy things. A lot of crazy things.
Any other questions?
So one last thing about like country doctors.
Okay.
So would you say you prefer the country doctors that you had in your youth or more like modern day physicians or specialists that you go to now?
Oh, I much prefer the country doctor. Because right now I'm going to a specialist who does this, and a specialist who does this, and a specialist who does this, and one who does that. And I think that sometimes, because there's no communication between the group, and you might have medical records here and medical records there, how do they know really and truly? Do they really communicate? You have to ask yourself that. And I'm one of those people who think sometimes when one will give me this and one will give me that, and I look at them and I think, I don't think I'm supposed to be taking these two together. And then you go to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist can either say, well, they might want to talk with your doctor about it. So yeah, I prefer the country doctor. Much prefer the country doctor. Even if he didn't have all the glitz and the glitter that goes with it today. I did. Okay? Is that it?
I think that's it.